sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is the VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of the Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
It's time to climb between the ropes once again with our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moweta. Good evening, Namdi.
And a good evening, Sonny.
Namdi, we're now less than 1 month away from the fight of the century, Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. Let's go to the training camps, Namdi. First, the Pac-Man training in Los Angeles. What's the latest with him?
Well, Sonny, we have what we call rubber dub in camp. Manny Pacquiao dealing with leg cramps. They had to bring in doctors doing a massage and rub. And check this, and they're using a cream worth $1,800 per bottle. For the rub. So he's going through rubber dub in camp and, you know, massage and all that, skipping days from running. He's training. He's running right here, a couple of doors from Voice of America Studios in Westwood at UCLA, Drake Stadium.
Interesting.
They have him running up stairs in the on the stadium, and I'm wondering, he needs the legs. You know, Manny Pacquiao without his legs, like a Lamborghini with no wheels. You know? The easy target for the money man, you know. So he's dealing with this cramp situation, and I picked into camp myself a few times. I don't really like what I'm seeing, but it's too early to critique him because people call me Manny Hater, you know, so I'm going to shut up now.
Now, Namdi, Pac-Man and Mayweather, I mean, age-wise, they're not spring chickens. Pac-Man 36, Mayweather 38. Are they more susceptible to cramps because of their age?
Sonny, that's a real good point you just brought up. You know, these guys, they've been around for a long time. They've been in camps. They've been doing road walks, you know. And the body at the stage will tell you, look, dude, I'm not going to get up for this running at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m. You know, it comes with age. It's a good point. When this guy said they're in their 30s, you know, mid-30s, you know, so pushing the body every time. Manny Pacquiao is at that spot now where this little cramps come fight night. He may just be an easy target for Mayweather.
Mayweather trains and lives in Las Vegas. Namdi, what's the latest with the money man?
Money man has been cracking ribs, Sonny, in Vegas, man, dropping guys on the floor. So money man is ready, man. So we are looking at pictures. He's posting pictures on the social media, Instagram. He's happy. He's ready to go. This may be the best of money man we will see because dude is going all the way banking with crazy paper, Sonny. Check this. He's not only the fighter, he's also the promoter. So he's going to get both ends, you know. So by the time all is done, dude is walking away with close to $200 million, man.
Now, in terms of that crazy paper, Namdi, if the fight fans want to buy this fight here in the States, what are they going to pay on fight night?
Another good question, Sonny. The biggest so far was when Oscar De La Hoya fought Floyd Mayweather. That's in 2007. You had to pay like $75 to get it. They call it $74.95, which is when you round it up and add all the state fee and cable TV fee, you're dropping close to $80 or $90. Check this one. For Mayweather, Manny Pacquiao, they sell $99.95. By the time you add all the tax from the state and tax from the cable company here and there, you're dropping $120, man.
Namdi, I read one report where an anti-doping examiner showed up on the Pac-Man's doorsteps. What was that all about?
Well, Sonny, when the fight was made, you know, they both agreed to do what you call anti-doping test, you know, and this was conducted 4 days after the press conference in L.A., the anti-doping examiner just showed up, said, hey, dude, I need blood and I need urine, you know, so no choice. You got to give it up. So that's part of the deal.
Getting back to the finances surrounding this blockbuster bout, Namdi, how come the tickets haven't gone on sale yet?
They're still scaling the house, Sonny. You know, last time we talked about it, we said 70 million, you know. That 70 million, we're talking about a 16,000 seat house in the MGM Grand Casino. And out of this 16,000 seats, you know, the public may only get 1,000. And the question becomes, what happens to 15,000 seats?
Mm.
The 15,000 seat goes to the big boys. The high rollers will fly in with their private jet. You don't expect them to be at the nosebleed, Sonny.
They're going to be ringside.
Come on, man. Ringside. Then we're talking. And check this. Bob Arum said today, all these celebrities that are used to getting free tickets to big fights, no free tickets for the Hollywood boys. They have the money. They must pay to be ringside, you know.
In terms of economic impact, how much will Las Vegas, the city itself, make during fight week?
Oh, Sonny, this is really crazy. Let me just give you a simple idea. Before fight week, before the fight was announced, a Motel 6, you're an American, you know what's called a Motel 6. A Motel 6 will run you maybe $125 without the fight week. Right after the fight was announced, that fight weekend, a Motel 6 will run you $350 if you find it.
Then if
you go upscale, you want to be at the MGM Grand or you want to be at Caesar's Palace, dude, you'd be dropping close to $800 to a G for room.
So they're jacking up the prices.
They're jacking up the price. So this fight, the fight weekend alone, will bring in close to $200 million into the city of Las Vegas.
Namdi, let's look ahead to this weekend. The Cameroonian fighter nicknamed the Scorpion, Saki Obika, back in the ring. Tell us about that.
Sonny, when you have two knockout artists, man, you expect fireworks, you know. Adonis Stevenson, he has 21 knockouts in 26 fights. Our boy from Douala, Cameroon, Saki the Scorpion Bika, he has 21 knockouts in 39 fights. You don't have to be a scientist to figure what's going to happen Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a blowout. And these two guys will clash for the WBC light heavyweight title, and that's going to be on prime time Saturday afternoon, free television. We're talking eyeballs, Sonny.
And in terms of eyeballs, Namdi, I understand a young Ghanaian fighter had some eyeballs looking at him with a victorious outing.
Oh, Sonny, right on time, because it's happening now in America, man. If you want to be in the game, you want to be a big player, you must do it on TV. We have Frederick Lawson, they call him General Okunka from Ghana, from Accra. Check this, 24-0 with 20 big knockouts, Sonny. Recently, he just beat Brady Spriscott from Colombia. What this young cat has going for him at the age of 25, he has a big promoter with Deep Pocket and Michael King with King Entertainment, and also Abe Sanchez, who's like top trainer in the U.S., working with him. So he's got it all covered. This is his second TV fight. Dude is on his way at the right time to break into like your CBS, NBC, HBO, Showtime. Dude will be banking.
Show me the money.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, firing more verbal jabs on the Voice of America. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. Joining us with their English Premier League football question of the week is the VOA's Tef Tef and Downtown Brown.
Hey, this is VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef Tef.
So the question of the week
was a little long. It went something like, over the weekend, Liverpool fans enjoyed an all-star charity match at Anfield. Steven Gerrard, who's leaving Liverpool, and Jamie Carragher captained respective 11 dream teams. So we said, you know what, let's pick our dream teams this week. And we said, let's just do five players.
You must pick two defenders, two midfielders, and one striker. I picked Tony, who said David Seaman from England. Tef, you picked Maldini from Italy.
Smart guy.
You got Vieira from France.
Zidane from France again.
And then the famous
the legendary Pele.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a good team, except you cheated a little bit by picking Seaman, who's a goalkeeper and not a defender. But it's fine. He's a good goalkeeper, so he can play defense as well.
Yeah, but I mean, Pelé, I think you're the only one that picked Pelé, so...
Kudos, to, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Kudos,
yeah,
kudos to you for
I
picking
that. I think that stuck a little in the modern side of the game.
There you go.
So, good job. Actually, the team that I really liked was the one that Adion Prosper picked. He picked, I think, some of the best players. I was kind of...
Yeah.
I would have picked these players had I not picked my other players, but John Terry, Puyol, as defenders, midfielders had Zidane, and yep. Makelele Zidane keeps coming up. And Ronaldo de Lima, not Cristiano, but the original Ronaldo,
ooh,
who was one of the best players I've ever seen in my life.
And Lewis Brown picked Cannavaro, Carlos Puyol, Gattuso, Michael Ballack, and Shevchenko. Your defense looks really amazing with Carlos Puyol in the back.
Yeah, that's another big name that keeps coming up. Yeah. Michael Ballack with the headers is really good. And Shevchenko, of course, AC Milan legend.
Yeah.
So let's ask you, Dan.
Oh, you know me.
Last week it started with, you know, an easy pick, Ronaldinho.
Very true.
Of course, everybody's going to want to have one.
But
team.
Here's the thing. I put Ronaldinho as my midfielder, okay?
Okay.
So I'm going to lead up to it. So I got Ronaldinho in my midfielder, Terry Henry as my midfielder, Carlos Puyol.
Henry's a striker.
I know he's a striker. I know. I'm putting him as a midfielder. I'm putting Terry Henry as a midfielder. David Luiz as my defender, and Carlos Puyol as my defender. And then the last person I'm going to put in there, come on, there's nothing to say. I'm going to put VOA's Downtown Brown. I'm in that game. You cannot take me out of that game.
I think the coach, whoever it is, will bench you. That's for sure.
And then is my reserve. I got recently retired Landon Donovan, so...
Fair. Shout out to the U.S. national team.
Yeah, I got to give some shout-outs.
All right, cool. Well, I kind of started with Maldini up in the defense and Vidic because, you know, any five-a-side team needs two good defenders so everyone can go forward and attack without worry.
You pick Vidic because of Man U. That's the only reason, though.
I think Vidic is, I've always said this, he is the type of defender, if you cross the bullet, he'll give it a header.
He
just, you know, he goes for the ball. I like that. Outside of that, I picked Zidane in the middle as well, and I put Cristiano, who needs some tricks on the field. You know, you need some moves, skills.
Wow.
And in the end, I had to decide between Ruud van Nistelrooy and Henri, and I actually went with Henri this time because he's a more complete striker. I'll admit that, although Ruud always scored so many goals. So that's my dream five.
We thought of this because of the Nike commercial where they transition to different players when they're playing against each other 5-on-5.
Yep.
So matches to watch over the weekend. We got Arsenal versus Liverpool.
That's a good one.
Let's start off with this. I know that's my team playing. I think it's going to be a 2-1 win.
I could go for that, although Liverpool now have a lot to prove. They did not lose easily at Anfield last week, by the way, because they did get a red card at 45 minutes. So they will give you a good test. But personally, I do want to see Liverpool drop some points because that will kind of solidify the top four.
Thing is, you guys are playing against Aston Villa, so I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-1 tie.
Oof. I think this is United's chance to... I think Rooney this week said if they don't beat Aston Villa, their win against Liverpool doesn't mean anything. That's all for this week.
And you can check us out on Facebook.com/VOA Sunny. I'm VOA's Downtown Brown.
And I'm Tef Tef.
Hey, have a great weekend, you guys.
Thanks, guys. And you have a great weekend, too. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Sule Tarawali, my Voice of America engineer this evening. Kick it, Sule!
Kick it!
On Africa News Tonight, we let the sound tell the story, putting you in the middle of events from Africa's news to world crises. Africa News Tonight comes to you live from the Voice of America, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. on the following shortwave frequencies: 6080 kHz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kHz, 19.2 meter band. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
The voice of America.
VOA. Hello, everybody. From that very first broadcast during World War II, and ever since, the voice of America has been the voice of freedom. So on behalf of the American people and the millions around the world who draw hope and strength from your work, thank you all for being the proud and steady voice of America.
Voice of America!
And thank you, President Obama, for your support of the voice of America. This evening, we revisit the recent Prague half marathon in the Czech Republic. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with three of the top African finishers in Prague. First up is the overall race winner from Kenya. Here's Andy.
We're talking with Daniel Wanjiru, who's won the Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. He's run 59:51, and in February this year, he was a very good performer in Ras Al Khaimah as well, finishing second. Daniel, how pleased are you with today's run?
I think today I have done good race, but although it was very competitive race, and also the wind was against us, so it was not an easy race as usual, but everybody was in good shape, and it was like a championship to me, and to win this race of Prague, it's a good chance for me in this year, yeah.
Leonard Comon was third. Now, he's the world record holder at 10K on the road. Did you think he would be your biggest rival, your most dangerous rival?
Always, everybody was thinking about that. But, you know, last day it depends with body, the way to respond. So, for me, after 15K, I saw we were in big group. And to this, I was very courage.
You looked like you were running with confidence. Is that how it felt?
Yes, I was very confident because I had done my good training, so I was not failing, and I was aware that when we reach 17K, I will assist up to finish. Yeah.
You've run for the marathon just outside 2:08. These solid, consistent performances at half marathon, do they tell you that you can run a lot faster at the marathon distance?
Yes, to me, I hope to run faster than 2:08 in marathon. Maybe in second season of the year, which is autumn season, and hope to improve my time in marathon, yeah.
And just lastly, what's next on the schedule for you? Is it going back to Kenya, training, or do you have other races on the schedule?
Yeah, from this list, I'm going back to Kenya and continue with my training. Then I follow the schedule of the season, maybe to do another half marathon or 10K, yeah.
You certainly look strong today in winning the Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. Daniel Wanjiru of Kenya, many congratulations. Thank you, Daniel.
Welcome, sir.
The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with the third-place woman in Prague, who is from Burundi. Once again, here's Andy.
Talking with Diane Nukuri of Burundi, who's finished a very creditable third in the Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. And it's a significant run in terms of running a month from now, the London Marathon. Diane, you seem to have changed also your training venue, at least. You're talking after your run, you went to Kenya to E10, and that was a new move, and it's brought success. So just give us some background to that.
Yeah, this year I decided I wanted to do something a little different, and I decided I Well, Lorna kept like that inviting me for the last couple of years, and I kept saying, "Oh, I'm coming." And finally, I said after the Amsterdam Marathon, I said I really committed to going to her camp, and she was very supportive, 100%. And it's kind of nice to know that there's somebody, you know, who's like willing to take you to her home, and then just kind of when I'm there, I just feel like I'm at home, and just kind of like my mom, even though she's not that old. But it's been really nice, laid back, just training and sleeping and hanging out. And I was born in a village, so for me it's like I feel like I'm a little kid again when I see kids in E10.
Did it give a psychological as well as, you hope, physical boost? Because a lot of people talk about, well, should we say Westerners outside of Africa think Kenyan runners, just like Ethiopian runners, unbeatable, how can they do it, we're not the same as them. And yet now a lot of Westerners have gone there and taken what they think they need from it, mm-hmm. and felt, well, they're human like the rest of us. So what were your impressions?
Well, first of all, let me say E10 is one of the hardest places to train. My first couple of weeks, I honestly didn't think I was going to make it. It was just like, I just said, I want to run somewhere and there's no hills. Like, you're not going to find, you know, place in E10 that, where there's no hills. And I also have a lot of more, obviously, respect about, you know, like, Kenyans getting out every morning. It's hard, and people are talking about the whole thing with, like, drugs and stuff, but there are people out there who work so hard. And it's not like other places. It's like you can get fit by just running easy. An easy run is like hard because it's just so tough to run. And I've just gained a lot of like, you know, like confidence physically and just kind of like mentally. And just seeing everyone is very motivating being in E10 and just seeing all the world record holder, very laid back people as well.
Were you running in groups? Because that also seems to be the African way, isn't it? Everybody's in a group, and it's Darwinian in the terms of survival of the fittest.
I've joined groups for easy runs, but I chose to have my own pacemaker, and I just figured also it's a way to help out somebody as well, just like pay them. And you know, the group thing, it could either break you or make you. So, and I didn't want to do that, and I have my own coach, so I have to follow his program. I just choose to do more individual, but I've joined group for core class at Lorna. Like Timo Lima is the instructor. He's really amazing, and that's helped a lot, having people, like 30 people in one class for core. So that's been good, beneficial as well.
Today's result in Prague, Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. You're third, 69.33. Not a PB, but it's still a good field. So what does that tell you about your hopes for the London Marathon a month from now?
You know, I'm very excited. When I ran a PB in New York 2 years ago, that was like a perfect day. I mean, I can imagine a better race like that one. But today was different. I'm more happy because I finished strong and I ran pretty much the whole race by myself. It was a bit windy, and then the feeling was a bit different, and it slowed me down a bit, and a little bit of the wind everybody experienced. But I'm actually more excited about this, even though I didn't run a PB, about London, because I trained a lot harder last week. I didn't taper or anything, so it just kind of makes me excited about what I can do in London. I mean, it's about time for me to post a good time as well.
Well, you know London, but the Olympic marathon course, which is very different to the big city course, does it make you feel as if you're going into a championship race? Because London traditionally has such strong fields that it's like a championship, although you've got pacemakers.
Yeah. I mean, London, I mean, I did it last year. It's one of the best, like, marathons out there. And I think going there when you can get placed as high as you can is, like, makes you excited about the Olympics next year as well. So, I mean, looking at the women that they have this year, it's the first, when I was in E10, I was just like, man. But right now, it's like, it's a matter of who gets to the finish line healthy, and it's a matter of, like, mentally and physically, if you're ready. I mean, I feel like I'm, like, definitely heading in the right direction, and it makes me excited. We'll see. We never know.
All the best, Diane Nukuri, for the London Marathon, as well as congratulations for success in the Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. Well done. Thank you, Diane.
Thank you so much.
And thank you again, Energetic Andy, at the Prague Half Marathon. Energetic Andy also chatted with the third place men's finisher from Kenya. One more time, here's Andy.
We're talking with Leonard Komen, who finished third in the Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. Leonard, okay, we all know you're the world record holder at 10K, and you talked before the race about how you plan your career. It's another step in up the mountain towards the marathon, or a successful marathon. How did you view today, looking back on finishing third place with the winner, Daniel Wanjiru?
I think today I feel I'm happy because I finished the race, and my aim was to run good time, which was I was planning to run today under 59. But when I was running, I think there was a towards finishing, we had a lot of wind coming towards us. That's why with the performance not go the way I was planning. But all I feel that I'm happy because I've run under 60. And for more preparation, I'm still hoping that I will perform well.
This was your second half marathon after making your debut in Berlin last year. So you feel you're still learning about the half marathon?
Yeah, I'm still learning about half marathon because it seems not the same like 15 and 10 kilometers. It's a long distance a little bit. So I'm still learning techniques of toggling half marathon.
Is that question of conserving energy, a different tactical approach? If you can pick on one point that's different to running through 15K and then running, 6K and a bit further?
You know, running below 15 kilometers, you know, you run very free. You know that the distance is very short. So you run, you release all your net energy. But when you are toggling like half marathon, you feel like you want to reserve energy for the last 2 kilometers or the last kilometer. So you get confused on the way. So I'm still learning how to compete on a half marathon.
I'm sure the lessons will be completed successfully. Leonard Komen, third on this occasion in the Sportissimo Prague Half Marathon. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
I'm Shegu Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. Finally, the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament has reached the Final Four stage. There will be two semifinal games on Saturday at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, Indiana. In the first contest, Michigan State will meet Duke University, and that will be followed by a game between the unbeaten Wildcats of Kentucky against the Badgers of Wisconsin. And that wraps up another expanded edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA engineer Sule Terawale. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.